the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. I'm Nathan.
I'm Charlie. We're your hosts for today. And today we have a good friend of ours, Adeline Osler, joining us. Thank you so much for joining.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Adeline is an alumni of a discipleship training program that Forge does. And so Adeline, what year did you go through that?
I was a student in 2015.
Okay. And Adeline's doing some really amazing things, laboring for the kingdom and her church and community and school as she's teaching. But before we dive into what that looks like in her everyday ministry, Adeline, maybe you can share with us a little bit of what was some of the biggest things that God did in your life or taught you on that discipleship training program.
Dang. Yeah. So I feel like, so I was a student in 2015, and then in 2016, I was an intern, and I feel like God did just as much work, so to speak, you know, as that student year as he did as an intern. So thinking back, when I was a student, forgiveness was huge. There was so much just baggage that I had carried into other relationships, even in with myself. And obviously when you have something that's not right with God, it affects all the relationships around you and stuff. And so I think like a theme for that year when I was a student was forgiveness and being able to truly forgive, like move forward. I think the thing that just really stuck out to me about Forge was that it was authentic. It was real. The staff and the students were able to tell you what it was really like. Like they told you how it was. They didn't really sugarcoat it. And that's not always easy to find in Christian community. And so hearing the truth and hearing like true rebuking as just like gave way to forgiveness and freedom in my life, honestly. So,
amen. Well, you know, Nathan and I don't really love sugarcoating.
Oh, I know. Thinking back to the Stranded and I, not.
Yes.
I can't say I really was friends with you at first.
I really like to put padding on everything that I say.
Yeah.
He means padding so that he can really hit you with that glove, you know. So,
things but I'll never forget. But I forgive you.
Thank you.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, you know, it's funny that you bring up forgiveness. We just recently did an episode on that, so it's kind of cool that you bring that up.
Mm-hmm.
So you found that there were people in your life that had done something against you. You realized the importance of forgiveness, and then you walked that path of forgiveness. And what was that like after the fact? I mean, felt more free, or what was the
result? Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely felt more free. I think I was able to give grace to myself, give grace to the people around me. I could look at people in relationships and not, and like truly live in relationship with them and not have like these expectations, not feel like that I was either even like waiting to get hurt, you know, and sometimes those relationships you're like, I'm just waiting for the foot to drop, you know, and I could actually freely be me and live in freedom in relationship with people and not really necessarily even care what they thought of me, necessarily even care what I thought of myself, but like have a gospel humility. And so it's changed a lot of the things in my life. It's still something I practice, right?
Yeah.
Deep wounds can cause deep restoration, yeah. I guess, but
Jesus did something along those lines.
That's important. That's, it kind of makes me think of Hebrews 12. We have this race marked out for us to run. And how do we run it? Throw off everything that hinders, it says. And then we can run this race that God has marked out for us to run uniquely, each of us. And of course, God has called all of us to love him with everything, to love others around us and make disciples of all nations. And it kind of seems like, wow, you were able to have relationships and really love people more effectively by throwing off everything that hindered, which was unforgiveness in that case. So that's pretty powerful to see.
Yeah. So we love talking about laborers on this podcast. And if this is the first episode you're listening to, laborers is just a word we use to describe everyday ordinary people who go and share the message of Jesus with people in their lives based upon a scripture that comes out of Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38, where Jesus says to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, and then ask them to pray for more laborers, and then more laborers get sent. So that's my 15-second definition of laborership for you. Anyway, Adeline, you have a really interesting position in God's kingdom as a laborer, and would you mind sharing a little bit about that with us?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, I didn't expect to be where I'm living right now. Do you want me to share where I'm living right now?
Yeah, you. As long as it's not a secret to the rest of the
world. No, I won't give you my address, but
we're coming.
So I live out in Spring Creek, Nevada. So it's rural Nevada, nothing like Vegas. It's the third largest county in Nevada, and closer to the mountains in Elko, but most people know of Elko, Nevada because of the interstate. So anyways, I was not expecting to live here at all. I was ready to go live international in Mexico. I remember a specific conversation at Deep Camp with Charlie where I'm listening to all these people and their missionary stories. And Charlie's like, are you just sick of listening and want to go? And I'm like, yeah. And so I don't know if you meant anything by that, Charlie, but anyway.
I don't even remember that. Oh. I really don't even. Yeah.
But it's in his DNA to just like poke and prod at people like that.
Yeah. So anyways, he mentioned that and I was like, I am. And so I started looking at, you know, going international. And I went on a trip on my own to this rural place in Mexico. I was ready to go, ready to become a teacher. And I was excited about what God had for me there. And things didn't quite work out the way I'd planned. And so last minute I was like, well, like truly surrendering, like, God, what do you have for me? And I just kind of applied to some places and was praying about it. And this place came up and I took the job before I even came and visited. Maybe that's crazy, but I felt so much peace and just security that like God was going to do what God was going to do. And I had other things on the table. I just felt like this is where I was supposed to be. So I packed up, moved here, checked it out, started 2 weeks later, and school was hit the ground running. And so that first year was a lot of like, you know, seeking what's the community like, all of this different stuff. And then God has just provided lots of ways for me to get plugged in. I'm a part of a Living Stones Church, which is an Acts 29 church plant. And they recently asked me to be the director of local missions and outreach. And so I've just kind of taken that on as a volunteer position as now. And, there's a lot of needs here and it's different than a lot of other communities and, cities, I guess. So I feel like there's a lot in that. I mean, prostitution is still legal here. And so we've got a lot of different irons in the fire, I guess. I don't know. But that's kind of how I started actually getting involved with the church more, was I led a community group. And then I was like, you know, God's really been putting in my heart for this women in prostitution. Ever since I was at Stranded, he's put it on my heart, like reaching unreached people and advocating for people who are truly, honestly, can't even advocate for themselves. And when you look at the system of prostitution, especially in Nevada, that is what it is. These girls are being totally abused, I believe, by systems.
And side note, really quick, just a pause on that. Stranded, for those who are listening, that has been a training with Forge, which is like a mock mission trip where you can basically go out to a field or wherever into the wild, and it's a bunch of team building and focus on reaching those who don't know Jesus and those who are underrepresented, being able to stand for those people in God's kingdom. And so kind of some practical hands-on training and team building for that. And if you want to check that out, that's part of a ministry called Unusual Soldiers. You can go to unusualsoldiers.com and check that out. With Forge, we also have a similar training called Detour, which you can check out with us as well. Anyway, so just in case you were going stranded, what do you, like your tire popped? What are you talking about? Yeah. And God did wild things. Anyway, so you can continue. Prostitution and it's legal. And so God's given you that massive heart for that community.
No, I'm glad you clarified that. So that's how I kind of started getting really plugged in with service and stuff was, you know, looking at what I can do, what we can do as a church and as a community to help these women, provide them resources. And it's so crazy because when I was ready to move into Mexico, I'm saying the same things here, same things. And like we are in one of the richest parts of Nevada because these gold mines are just so wealthy. And I was going to move to the poorest place where we don't even get mail. You know what I mean? And I'm seeing the same problem. So it's really, God has been showing me so many crazy things here. Mm-hmm. But it's nothing like I expected.
And have you been doing ministry among these people? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. So it was like in the brothels.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So,
I mean, whatever.
Anywhere.
Anywhere.
I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah. What does it look like for you to be reaching out to these people, specifically these women?
Sure. So there is a ministry that does go in and works with the women. Basically, it's all relationship building. It's all relationship building. And so they get to know the girls. They know when their birthdays are. They visit them. They talk with them. I'm a one. And throw a little enneagram in there. But so I'm like, we're going to do this. We're going to do it all and move on. Like, we're going to just do great. You know, like I'm very kind of driven. And this ministry is like a slow moving process because it's all about relationships. It's all about people. And it takes time. It takes time. And so a lot of it is they go into these buildings. They get to know these girls. They talk to them outside of the brothels. And then, just sharing Jesus with them and getting to know them. They do bring like gifts and goodies and stuff. Right now, thank goodness, because of COVID, our brothels have been closed. They opened quickly for a short period of time, but a lot of the girls have moved. The ones that are can, they've moved. So we're hoping, and we're seeing a change, but.
Wow. I know you had made a comment to me, Adeline, as we were communicating before this episode, that you've seen a real increase in your church community of people becoming involved in local mission. Like, what does that look like? How did that happen? Because I would say in general, that seems to be a downward spiral in many churches.
I know. Yeah. I get super
like
giddy.
We're pulling teeth to get people to stack a chair, let alone get out there on mission with Jesus in their local community. So tell us about that journey. How did that happen? Like, I think there could be some key gold nuggets that we pull out of what did you guys do to get that to happen? And what have you seen God do as a result?
Sure. Yeah. We've seen a huge number of people increasing, like in unity within our church, like despite all of this stuff happening. And I think it's because it kind of reminds me of like, you know, in Acts when the church is being sent out, and the church is being the church, you know, like there's pressure, like Jesus is gone. You need to go be the church. You need to be like the hands and feet.
You gather to scatter.
Yes. Yes. That. And so like our community groups have always, they have really stepped up. And when there's someone who needs a new car in our community group, we've seen a community group of 10 people buy a car for a family. Like we've seen some pretty cool things happening. And as COVID has happened, as our numbers have kind of like decreased, our numbers have decreased, we've seen like probably a core group of 30, 35 people who have just said, you know, I'm here. God's given us this time. He's still working. He's still good. We're going to keep showing up. And we're able to do a lot of outreach stuff. We're getting ready to do like our big year-end gift. We're building water wells in developing countries, providing safe, clean drinking water. And we know with water comes a lot of other things like water education, water economy. Like people can have a life if they can have water, right? And so we have had tons of volunteers step up to serve, to volunteer, to raise money, and to do other fundraising opportunities. Our community groups have, I think, just kind of come together when everything else seems like they're pulling apart. I don't know if I can necessarily always put my finger on it either. It's been so cool to watch, but I think it's because we just value one another in a way.
Mm. So important. And I don't know, it just, it's like, hey, remember when Jesus said that we're supposed to be doing all of these things? It's just nice to hear that some people actually are.
And of all ages, like it's not just like this 40-year-old age group that can do it. Like these people, some of them have jobs, some of them don't. Like everybody's coming together, they're serving. And I mean, I came across a statistic that said that 1 in 5 churches are going to have to be closing their doors due to COVID. 70% of pastors are looking for another job. Mm. And the fact that our building, we're in a building expansion right now. Our building is growing physically, like building wise, where numbers are trying to grow. But like we are seeing these changes come, and just, I think, even truly being the hands and feet of Jesus is making a difference in our community.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think, oh man.
Yeah. One of the things what we're talking about is bringing two different ideas to my mind. One of them is it's interesting to see how God has used COVID in a very interesting way. Like he's used it to, when it comes to the church, like those who have always been following Jesus and are passionate about following him are and feel safe to come to church are still going to church. Whereas people who were kind of like on the fence about Jesus, COVID kind of like, at least in my, from my perspective, COVID in many ways has gotten those people off the fence, which honestly, it's better to be not on the fence. It's better to know where you stand with Jesus, even if you're standing outside, because if you're standing outside, then you know that you're standing outside and you're not faking it. As we have a speaker on our team named Adrian Dupre, who talks about a third chair Christian, someone who thinks that they're a Christian, but they're actually not a Christian. It's the most dangerous place to be spiritually because, hey, like, you're going to get to Jesus, stand before Jesus one day, and he's going to say, hey, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, for I never knew you. So on one hand, like it's cool that COVID is kind of bringing about this sifting. On the other hand, the other thing that's kind of come to mind about what you're saying is you had mentioned that people are like stepping up and stepping into the mission that Jesus has for them. And one idea that I recently had was I'm kind of wondering, like, why has the church gotten to this place where we're just okay not doing what Jesus told us to do? Like, in what world is that even like okay that our God says, hey, I want you to love your neighbors and love your enemies and give to those in need, and I want you to make disciples, and all of us as followers are looking at those things as if they're optional? And it's like, these things are not optional. This is what the King of Kings is calling us to do. These are orders, for lack of a better phrase. These are commands from our King, you know, and we need to be doing them. So And look at the fruit of people doing them. Your church is expanding in a time when all these other churches are shutting down. It's like, man, like, look, what Jesus says is actually legitimate.
It's massively important. I think this season is, for churches as a whole, adapt or die. And I think of like what Jesus said to all the seven churches in the first few chapters of Revelation. Like, man, how many churches is Jesus knocking on the door right now? Like, hey, you guys need some changes. You need some repentance to be going on. Out of those seven churches, 5 of them, Jesus said, you need to repent. And so there's a lot of scholars that say, hey, there were seven churches, and likely because this was a letter that rotated around from place to place, there were more churches in those regions. So it's a holistic number to say, hey, there's different situations, but this letter is for the whole church. And so could it be, I don't know, but could it be that 5 out of 7 maybe need to repent? That's a high statistic. And adapt or die. I mean, that's kind of what Jesus was saying to some of them. Like, hey, there needs to be some changes. Otherwise, your lampstand is going to be removed. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'd rather hold on to the lampstand personally.
hold on to the lampstand.
That doesn't sound good. They're going to lose it, man. It's going to burn out and die. And like what Nathan is saying, and what your church has been doing, you're talking about people are putting it into action. Like James, we need to be obedient to Jesus. Jesus said the wise man is the one who builds his house on the rock. Well, who's that? Jesus said it's the one who hears my words and does them. So the one who puts it to action, and it's key. That's what a laborer does. They're a disciple in action, someone who's obeying Jesus, advancing his kingdom cause everywhere they go. And we're in such a time of adapt or die. Man, do you want to see the kingdom advance? Do you want to see this kingdom cause grow among your community? Then get serious about the things of Jesus. It's a whole lot more than showing up for 1 hour a week and cool, I listened to a message and now I'm going to go home and forget about it.
Yeah.
It's a whole lot more than that. It's you're gathering to worship together, but to be equipped for mission every day, every believer, wherever they go. And man, if we got serious about obeying Jesus, I think some of that adaption could be, how do we individually, each within the collective local body of the church, begin to make disciples in our community and invest in people and multiply them. And then all of a sudden the church is growing and you're going to start having multiplication, not only among individuals spiritually, but through churches. They're going to be like, great, you guys just led a lot of people to Christ, and they led a lot of people to Christ, and they led a lot of people to Christ. You guys, you need to start a gathering there, and it's going to multiply. And I think that that doesn't rely upon whether COVID happens or doesn't, or one building is open or closed. That relies on you meeting people and engaging with them. And anyway, we could talk about that all day long. But that's a huge piece and exciting to see in the community. And you talked about the unity of those believers. I think of Jesus saying, how are they going to know you're my disciples? By your love for one another. What a key thing that you guys have going on there, which is so exciting.
Yeah. And I think just like side note, kind of it made me think like, you know, why has this happened? And I mean, it's a quote now, right? But the greatest gift you can give this world is your intimacy with God. Right. And like thinking back to the people in these community groups, like the question I couldn't even necessarily answer before is like, they love Jesus. And him up close in their life is changing them. It's causing them to do these crazy things where they are sacrificing more and they're giving more and they want to be in community more and they want people to call them out and they want these things, and it's bringing unity and life and freedom to our church, even though it's because they want more of Jesus. We've been reading through Hebrews too for quite a while. It's like, just constantly, God is faithful, knowing his character and like letting that be what we meditate and focus on has, I think, truly changed the heart of the church. So,
well, that's amazing. Yeah. God's go figure that when we trust in God's faithfulness, we have the courage to step out and do the things that he's calling us to do.
Adeline, what would you say if there was somebody in another church that said, man, I really want to stir things up and get more people on mission in our community? You have firsthand experience doing that. What would you say to that person if they were asking you, what would you tell me? I really want to see that happen in my community. What are some practical next steps I could take?
I think I'd say just, it's such a good question. I think I'd say just like, look around where there's needs. There's always needs. There's always people, you know, having things come up and stuff. And I guess in this circumstance, like, my heart was just, hey, we need service. And I stopped and I was looking around and I'm like, okay, well, this is an option. This is something that could happen. Like, how can we dream big here for the church, and how can we help people in need in our city? And then as you just start to open your eyes, and I feel like God has opened my eyes in ways to see these needs, just take one little step. Like one little step, maybe it's just call the pastor. Hey, this has been on my heart. That's it. I feel like there's so many things that a lot of people in our church don't do because they just don't take that tiny little step to say, to acknowledge the fact that they do have a passion or they do have a purpose where they are. They just kind of suppress it and say, I couldn't do that. I can't do that yet. I don't have enough experience. I'm not equipped, that kind of thing. And it just keeps blowing me away. My life, I never thought would look like the way it does now. But our God is an extraordinary God doing really cool things with really, really ordinary people. And I think when you trust that and you just look for things around you, look for the needs, truly see people, you're going to be making a difference, and all for the kingdom. Because he's doing it through you. It's not really you anyways.
Right. And that's those true. Humanitarian things that we do, those acts of generosity or acts of kindness or whatever, can be a launching point from where we can proclaim the truth of Jesus into people's lives.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
It kind of seems like too, if you are doing that individually, then you can start inviting other people along with you. Hey guys, look what God's doing. Could you come and help make a difference? Mm-hmm. And that could maybe stir up some sort of movement of, hey, sure. Let's see others. Let's multiply others to get involved in this, and what a difference that could make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And people like you, Adeline, you're a visionary. You got eyes to see. You got to drag people like me along. So like, this is what God has done. Like, he puts me in partnership with Charlie because Charlie's got the ideas and I'm the implementer. I help pull things off. And so that's the cool thing about the body of Christ is maybe you really struggle to see those needs, but maybe there's someone else in your church who doesn't struggle to see those needs, and you can come alongside them, and you guys as a team can work together to fill those needs in your community and share the message of Jesus with the lost people in your world.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so cool too. Like, there's a lot of stuff that God does behind the scenes, right? Like all last year when I was not even really, I wasn't a community group leader. I was just kind of like seeing, and I was like taking time and seeing like, God, where do you want me? And he was building all of these insane networks and connecting me with people in different schools, connecting me with people on the city council, connecting, and all of this cool stuff. And so now I feel like as I'm ready to walk into this local missions director position, it's like there's so many other networks that God has already been creating and so many other relationships that when we want to share the gospel with our community, we want to serve and love and help people, it's going to be so cool because we have this network and community. So like the body of Christ.
But. Praise the Lord. Yes.
I'm excited to hear the stories that keep coming out of what's happening in your city. I think it's going to be exciting, the movement of Jesus there.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So, Forge is doing cool stuff too.
Hey, we're excited to be a part of what God's doing, man. Raising up laborers here, there, and everywhere. And it's just incredible to see what God's doing all over the globe, man. It's, I don't know what else I could put my hand to now that I've tasted it. So I think I'd be like, I don't know what I'd think if I just, I couldn't do it, man. I couldn't do anything else. So I'd be, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been an honor hearing your story, and we'll be praying for you and we encourage our listeners to be praying for Adeline as she continues to move into this new role as a local ministry director, and that we would see your town flipped upside down with the message of Jesus. How great would that be?
That would be awesome. Adeline, yeah. How can people get connected to you if they want to?
Well, you can email me. I have a church email.
Great.
It's my name, Adeline, Adaline, at lschurches.com. And then, yeah, I love to talk or answer questions or anything. I feel like I'm a really ordinary person. So hey, when you guys were like, hey, you want to do a podcast? I'm like, I'm pretty ordinary.
you're sitting with two guys who are.
I know. And then I thought about who I was sitting with. I was like, oh, I'm good.
You guys are great.
I appreciate all the work that you guys are doing. I know this is like a side kind of thing to what you're already doing with the kingdom, with your families, and you guys have always been an inspiration, even when I was stranded. But yeah, you guys have been doing amazing things for the kingdom. So I truly am always at the edge of my seat of like, what's happening with Ford? What's happening with you guys? And so thank you for you and your wives and your families, because you're making a difference.
Amen. Well, may God do more and more through all of us.
Yeah.
man, this has been awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining this episode of Fuel for the Harvest. We can't wait for you to listen in next time. God bless you.